All right, so welcome back to another music industry podcast by The Raven in the Road. Today, I want to introduce our guest, Gerald Wright. He is a manager at a local music store. Back in the day, we actually used to work together. We had like a 500-plus lesson student store. Him personally, you know, just being able to really take his team, just do incredible things. I mean, doubling their sales goal. The growth in their lesson studio has just been really incredible. And his store has been really, really renowned for just the culture that he's been able to really create. So yeah, Gerald, I guess just kind of picking it off. I mean, is there anything else you want to say?
Nothing in particular. I just want to say, you know, I'm super honored to participate and be on this podcast. I can only imagine the great things that you're going to do with The Raven on the Road. And I'm super happy to be able to be a part of this journey with you. May not make it till the end, but I'll be there.
I appreciate it. All right, so jumping right in, for those kind of interested in life in the music retail world of things, what kind of different roles are there? Like,
The music retail industry, there's actually so many roles and positions that, you know, to the naked eye and somebody who doesn't know a lot about what we do, it's a lot more than what it kind of looks like on the surface. I mean, if you want to just talk about the, you know, the actual retail store, we got the, you know, the store manager, we got our, you know, our lessons teachers, we got our, you know, our sales team. Then within the sales team, we have, you know, we got part-timers, we got full-timers, we got temps, you know, we got a little bit of everything. And then, you know, lessons teachers, we got, you know, experience, less experience, more experience. We got all types of people, you know, who participate and help, you know, kind of make this really a good environment to be in just for everybody. You know, kind of away from, you know, the actual retail store, we have, you know, our school service representatives, also known as our educational representatives. They get to, you know, travel back and forth between the schools and kind of they kind of bridge the gap between the store and a lot of the, you know, local schools and academic institutions. And they've always been really helpful and really cool people. Of course, within you know, their own realm of things, they have their own sales goals. They have their own, you know, rentals, but they do a lot of everything. So that's, you know, the school side of things. We also have, you know, of course we have warehouses, just like pretty much every retail store and things like that. It's really about it. But, you know, of course it doesn't seem like much, but, you know, it's kind of cool how we all get to work together and kind of get to understand, you know, a little bit about everybody.
Nice. Going a little bit more into that. So I feel like a lot of people, the entry level is just kind of like sales. Tends to be kind of like that starting place for most people, not everyone. But what would you say, what kind of traits do you think would make a successful salesman in your store?
Believe it or not, I've been fortunate to kind of bounce between just about every single position up until, you know, where I'm at now. And I've gained a lot of experience just from watching. And I'll tell you this, believe it or not, the most successful people I've seen definitely were not the best salespeople. I don't think extreme sales experience is necessary to be successful in a role like this. You know, I definitely think, you know, just being able to build relationships, you know, being able to connect with people, that's number one. And it's actually the main thing that I look for on my team when I'm looking for, you know, when I'm, you know, prospecting, you know, team members. The biggest thing for me is that you're, you know, you have a good heart, you're a good person, you're coachable, and that you're able to pretty much connect with people and build good relationships. And I think that's been extremely, you know, just beneficial and fruitful for me and my team, just a group of people from all different types of backgrounds who work well together, yeah. You know, not just work well individually, but work well together. Yeah. And that's probably been one of my favorite things about getting to work at, you know, at least Gastonia.
That's cool, man. No, I get that. And I feel like it hits different, especially from a kind of like a customer standpoint, when it's like, oh, they're not trying to like hassle me down and get me with the deals, but it's like, you know, they genuinely just care.
But I mean, it's just a reminder that, you know, what we do is kind of actually bigger than us and our aspirations, our own, you know, aspirations. You know, I can come in here every day, I can, you know, promote myself as the best salesperson. But then again, at the end of the day, you know, if I proceeded that way, it's about me and it's not about the customer. And I think one of the biggest things for me is not only customer experience, but guest experience, you know. I appreciate you taking the time to come out your day and come into our store, and I'm going to treat you like a guest, and I want to make sure you feel respected and make sure you feel heard. I want to hear everything you need, you know. I want to be able to help you, you know, just solve all your problems and solve all your needs in any way that I can. And again, I feel like, you know, salespeople, their motives are a little bit different than some, you know, genuinely good people, you know. I mean, it's not saying that all salespeople are bad. I mean, my dad was a, you know, car salesman, like, pretty much my whole childhood. He was fortunate, you know, to be, like, you know, the general manager at one of the top car dealerships in California. I can tell you, you know, from experience, my dad is a pretty good dude. but what it comes down to is just being able to connect with people, and just really being there for the customer, not just being there to benefit yourself. You know.
No, I feel that. And I mean, even I'm just going a little tangent. I mean, me personally, I was kind of bouncing around dealerships for a little bit, I had kind of the perfect model of both. You know, you had the first time I went in, it was this guy who'd, you know, been there for 7 years, which is a long time, you know, in the car dealership world. And but it was just very pitchy, you know, got to get the money, make the sale, get some kind of down payment. And it was just really kind of turn off, you know, it really just turned me off. And next time I went to a different dealership, and it was a younger guy, you know, figured he wasn't there long, but we didn't even talk like about sales the whole time. I mean, I was talking about my life as a musician, why I like this car. He was an artist and was kind of talking about how, you know, he has the same car and how it benefits. So we were still able to talk and kind of talk about that product knowledge and stuff, but it was clear it wasn't about him. So yeah, no, I totally get that. So what percentage of the job do you think is like actually selling? Would you say, is there like anything else they have to do aside from just kind of moving inventory in-house?
I would say, at least to me, I feel like sales are important, but if you got as long as you got the right people and give the right people on your team the tools, numbers will always come. So I feel like majority of the job, at least for me, it's always been just investing in my team, just looking at my team, looking at what areas can we, you know, we can improve in. What areas are you, you know, like Richard, what areas is Richard really successful in that maybe like somebody like Celeste or somebody like Omar is kind of falling behind in? Mm-hmm. Or what areas, you know, is Solomon really successful in? And just things like that, just trying to see, you know, it's majority of the job for me and my team is really just collaborative and how can we work together. Mm-hmm. And kind of just sharpening our skills every day. You know, whenever a customer comes in a store, of course, you know, we get to actually go ahead and showcase what we learned. But at the end of the day, it's about the people. And I want to invest in my people so they can be a service to other people, you know. So
I like that. Heck yeah. Yeah, so it's just kind of like running theme of relationships. And being in the music industry, kind of in that retail sales side of things, are there any benefits that you've seen from like being that middleman? So instead of people, you know, just ordering off Amazon, like how do those relationships kind of come forth from you being kind of in the middle of that transaction?
It's kind of funny that you bring that up. So a few weeks ago, I was actually at the gym working out, you know, got my headphones in, you know, my headphones are noise canceling. So this dude probably was talking to me for about 5 minutes before I actually acknowledged him. But he finally got my attention. He was like, "Yo, what's up, man? My name is Keith." And I was like, "What's up, dude? My name is Gerald." He was like, "So, you know, I'm new around town. You know, I'm just trying to get to know people. I know it's pretty awkward to try to get to know you at the gym, but you know, I don't know anybody in this area." My gym is in Fort Mill, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "I don't know anybody in this area." And I was like, "I mean, I'm a pretty cool dude, I guess, you know." And I, you know, we started talking about, you know, careers and what we do and like where we went to school and stuff like that. And he kind of he was in a way trying to get me to quit my job. Just because he was really passionate about e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And how e-commerce is really becoming, you know, like a really, you know, heavy hitter in terms of, you know, like retail in every aspect. You know, it's so much easier for people to order things online. It's so much, you know, easier for people to, you know, give themselves options, because online is such a great resource. Like Amazon, I think something that's really cool and really scary at the same time about Amazon is it'll also make suggestions on other items that you would like that, you know, the salesperson would actually do if you went to an actual retail store. But I would say probably the best thing is being able to literally create that relationship. You know, I feel like I love buying things online, but even like just in the position that I'm in now, I always want to give, you know, an actual human the opportunity, you know, to you know, be a service to me. Like, I would like to be a service to them. So I always try to go to the actual physical setting and actual physical store to get that experience.
Right.
You know, even though it's super duper easy for me to order things online or order things on Amazon, just that, like it is for you. I always try to give people that experience to try to sell me things, or even though it's not about selling, but I always try to give people you know what I mean? To see how they go about things.
Yeah.
And for me, it's always been like extremely satisfying just to see a customer come in the store confused and, you know, kind of distraught, not really knowing what they want.
Right.
But then the moment they leave the store, they have a smile on their face, like literally ear to ear, just a grin on their face.
Because
they got, you know, that just lets me know I gave them a great experience. And not only a customer experience, but a guest experience, you know?
Right. No, especially in the music. I mean, that's so many people that it's so foreign to them. Like, you know, and it's, I feel like so many people can be easily taken advantage of because they just don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, really being able to kind of give them that information and educate them as well.
Yeah. I'll say, especially nowadays, dude, man, there's so many affordable
yep.
instruments that,
yep.
that, you know, on the surface seem like it's such a great idea to invest in a $50 trumpet, a $70 trumpet. Oh, it's silver. Oh, it has gold keys,
right.
you know. But then
they're all the same.
Yeah, they're all the same. But no, dude. But I feel like I'm always doing a customer a disservice if I can't be the one who kind of helps educate them, like you said.
Exactly.
I feel like that's also another, you know, really big part of the job. And that's. It also means educating, you know, myself and educating, make sure my team is educated.
Right.
You know, product knowledge is, you know, can be extremely helpful and extremely, you know, detrimental to a sale, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But it does come in handy when you get to, you know, actually, you know, implement those skills that you learn and the things that you learn and kind of educate. You know,
right.
I feel like that's always really helped, you know, establish yourself as trustworthy and knowledgeable, you know. It's super easy for me to get $100 from you, but I'll tell
right.
you why you should probably spend $500 or a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
So that's always been really important, you know, to me, just being able to take that extra time. And if that doesn't tell you that I'm not in this for sales, I don't know what will. I want to see everybody who comes in for an instrument or whatever they come in for be successful. And I feel like a lot of times I'm doing you a disservice if I let you walk out with a $100 trumpet versus maybe spend
right.
a little bit more. You know.
Or even then at the least, I mean, just like, you know, if this is where you're at and this is all you can get, fine. But, in the, you know, if you're going to go for the next year, 2 years, whatever, this is what you're looking at and why. Yeah, because, yeah, worst thing is just, yeah, having them take that out of school, band director said.
Yeah.
What is that?
But no, yeah. My favorite thing, dude, is especially when people come in like, well, Amazon has this and Amazon has that. Amazon has everything you guys have. And I'm like, well, Amazon can't explain to you why you
exactly.
need this and why you shouldn't get
what's
this
it?
One. You know, it won't give you that experience and educate you like I can, you know.
Right.
And that's like always really satisfying, just being able to establish myself as knowledgeable and trustworthy, especially
yeah.
in, you know, when it comes to customers, man. It's just, I really, really enjoy that. Really, really enjoy it.
So especially when you tell they're looking for you next time they come
dude,
in.
Oh, dude, every day.
Yeah, I love it. So with kind of working in that music shop, would you say there's any room for like creative freedom? So like, you know, if like any events or, you know, what do you feel like you can do to kind of make that position more than what it is on paper?
I feel like it always, to be successful in a lot of things, you have to have an open mind. You also have to have a creative mind. I feel like in pretty much a lot of areas in life, you're going to have tight parameters that you have to work within. And it's kind of, you have to be creative in how you, you know, maximize that. So there's definitely always been, at least from what I've seen since I've been here, there's always been opportunity
right.
for creative freedom, such as events, whether it be, you know, instrument events, whether it be, you know, recitals. There's been an opportunity for things like that. Once you kind of, you know, choose an idea that you want to roll with, sometimes you start to realize that maybe the parameters are a little bit tighter than you would like initially. But I mean, there's definitely opportunities, and I'll say like the best thing about those events and like those ideas is like it's not about the money. At least for me, every time I've participated in those things, is not for me. It hasn't been about the money. It's just been about having an impact on as many people as I've been. You know, I can have that impact on. Sometimes it does come down to a numbers game where we got to hit, you know, we got to hit this, we got to hit that. And that's not necessarily what I'm about. That's why, you know, I always try to be proactive in my approach and just, you know, make sure everybody on my team is knowledgeable and everybody's happy. That way, you know, just like the employee engagement alone will, you know, definitely suffice. And I've always been a firm believer that, you know, I'm not the one who produces results. My team produces results. And if I can produce results, my team can definitely produce more results than I can. So going back to what I'm saying, just being able to invest that time into my team, the numbers will come. You know, the numbers will come. You know, just make sure everybody on my team is pretty good. You know, that's important to me. So for the events to be successful, as long as I got a happy team, I feel like my team can make just about any event successful.
Yeah. Well, I think that's cool, too, and especially, like, that creative freedom and kind of, you know, knowing the lines of within your sandbox, you know what I mean? And kind of as long as you're within these borders, you know, it's all free game and being able to encourage that, but also being having that realistic kind of business mind and seeing those go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So it is pretty cool. I've definitely been able to go to a few and I feel like, you know, even if I'm not buying a pack of strings today, you know, you best believe, like, bro, this is my place. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know these guys, you know, he taught me this and third. And so, it takes it away from, like, you know, some random shop with faces that come in and out to, like, you know, I don't know, like, I enjoy going there. Like, I know that, like, you know, when I go there, I'm gonna be seen. I'm gonna be like, you know, even if it's someone else, if that atmosphere is still the same, definitely changes into more. I guess just kind of rolling on out. What ways do you feel like, the position that you're in now and kind of the knowledge you've accumulated, how do you think that is preparing you for kind of those like next stages in life, future positions?
it's kind of funny that you go there. I've always been, I was just telling, you know, a friend this the other day, I've always been, you know, a firm believer that the position that I'm in now has actually already prepared me to be, you know, to start out successful in that next, you know, journey the next stop of my career. Not saying that what I'm doing now will make me 100% successful, but I definitely have the tools to get started. And, you know, I feel like along the way you'll start to learn. But I feel like just me being able to have, you know, experience, not only like just literally growing in a company and growing in a job, you know, for years, but just getting to interact with so many different people. I'm gonna say it again, so many different people on so many different levels and like so many different fronts, dude. I feel like that's prepared me for so many things in life. Even more than I probably expected to have prepared me for it. You know, I always thought I was pretty crazy, you know. I was 20 years old, you know, I was in my notebook just writing down stuff, and I was reading a book. And the dude was talking about how, you know, everybody over the age of 18 should probably have a life mission and a goal that they, you know, a mission that they want to, you know, you know, like, you know, a purpose in life. If you don't have a purpose in life, you're definitely lost. And I feel like for a while I was lost for a little bit of my life. You know, I'll never forget. I had a meeting with one of the, you know, the heads of the music department when I was at Central Piedmont. I forget what the meeting was about, but then she was like, Gerald, why are you here? She was like, Gerald, she was, no, like, literally, and I was like, I'm here to learn music, right? She was like, well, how is this going to help you in life? I was like, well, I'm just here to learn how to play music, and I was shy and, like, innocent about it, but she was, like, really trying to understand, like, what do I want to do with this? And I was like, I don't know. It came down to it, I was like, I don't know, you know? I was like, this is all I've done in my life, and, you know, it's something I feel like I'm good at. You know, I don't know what I want to do with it long term, but, like, this is why I'm here now. And she was like, well, if I can make the suggestion, you know, you probably want to get a little bit more, you know, you kind of want to narrow down your career path a little bit. Yeah. But then I kid you not, she made the suggestion. She was like, yo, you know, just give it a shot. She's like, I don't know if you'd like something like this, but give it a shot. She's like, look at the music retail. Yeah. I was like, music retail. I was like, I wouldn't mind, you know, just getting to own my own business one day. She was like, yeah, you definitely would probably like working for a company like, you know, Guitar Center or Sam Ash or even Music and Arts. And I'll never forget, dude, like after that meeting, I literally went home and was like, yo, I'm about to apply to every single music store. I already had a job at the time too. I was like, yo, I'm about to apply to every single music store in the area. again, just the past, because I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I was like, see where it takes me. I know right now she gave me a good idea, and I want to probably, you know, roll with that idea. So, you know, fast forward a few months, I get a call from, you know, our old manager at the Charlotte store, Rachel. She was like, yeah, you looking for a job? I was like, yeah. And it was a lot more professional than you looking for a job. Right. But I was like, yeah, I'm looking for a job. Called me in for an interview. I got the job, you know, and I was actually, I got hired one day before you did. But no, it was super cool because, like, I started out as a temp. And who knew that the skills that I already had before, you know, like whether it was being a valet, whether it was working at Kohl's, whatever it was, helping out at church, helped me at least start out and be successful as a temp, you know?
Yeah. No, bro. Like, yeah, I was like a housekeeper.
Dude.
Housekeeping over in New Zealand. And she was like, that's why I hired you. I was like, what? She's like, just, you know, here in Charlotte, like there was just a lot of cultural diversity. And she's like, you know, the knowledge it takes to be able to adapt and whatever to, you know.
Soft skills, man. Literally. Yeah, those soft skills exactly. are what, you know, got, you know, literally turned me from a temporary employee to an actual employee. Yeah. Same for you, you know, just having those soft skills.
Yeah. Apparently, I can teach you how to retune a guitar.
Apparently yours were a little bit more developed because you got full time before I did, you know, but. But no, like being honest, man, like just having those soft skills and how, you know, how you use them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just every career that or every job that I've had, even every position that I've had, has just already prepared me for the next.
For the next thing.
Or at least to start, you know, to be able to start. You know, of course it's gonna take some, you know, intuition on my part to be able to get something like that started. Wrong word probably. But you know, just to get something like that started. But like honestly, I feel like the job that I'm in now has already prepared me for so much more.
Yeah.
And back to my mission, dude, I kid you not, I was looking over my resume the other day, and of course, at the top of that, I had a mission. My mission was, I'm a leader, not a manager, I'm a leader of a successful organization who has a team, who lives, you know, healthy and balanced lives, filled with creativity and confidence. And I thought, like, reading that the other day, I was like, yo. Looking at Richard out the corner of my eye, I'm like, man, that's exactly what he's doing. And I was looking at Omar, I'm like, man, that's exactly what he's doing. I'm like, and I looked at Solomon. Solomon is new to my team, and I was like, man, that's exactly what he's gonna do. Cause he got the right people in front of him that's gonna help him get there, you know.
Yeah.
So I'll do. If you haven't got that memo yet, I'm all about my team. You know, I love my team. My team does more together than I can do by myself, and I'm so for that, man. So yeah, that's always been really important to me. So I don't know where that mission is going to take me, you know, next year or the year after that, you know, next month or the month after that. But you know, I just feel like, you know, what I'm doing now is definitely prepared me for a lot more than I realize. So.
Okay, man. Well, that was something. Even I mean, we were at that recording studio the other day. I mean, I was talking to the temp on the way out, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, just feeling, you know, this is just trying to get my foot in." And I was like, "Dude, like, every story I've ever heard, especially me personally." Like, it's always been a conversation. I knew so-and-so who met so, you know what I mean?
Dude.
You know, Max from college, I knew worked at that store before as a teacher before I, you know, started working there. Hager, who I met because I got caught up in a hurricane and needed to practice for a recital in music and art. You know what I mean? So it's all these relationships that kind of came together, and it's just for everything. So it's just that culmination of soft skills, and, you know, I can teach you everything else on the way. So it's kind of cool how that is just like a, that long-standing running theme, everything kind of music industry related.
Just wait till, you know, the day you're able to look back, you know, and like, dude, I built this many relationships with people who still reach out to me on a daily basis. These people that I still reach out to, you know, just from meeting them at, you know, at this store.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, this is probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, man. Like, this is how my current network of people that I interact with, I hang out with, literally all started from being a temp.
Yeah.
You know, at music and arts.
No, and, you know, and that's something that was hitting me towards the end of my studies at university. Afterwards, I, you know, traveled and did the whole nine yards. And I was thinking, I was like, you know, is because of my instructor, like, yes, he's done all this in his life, but like, does he know, like, everywhere I go to play, everyone I meet because I got to play somewhere, like, part of that is because of him. So like, it's not just, you know, I'm excited to look back one day and like see the lives of all the other people on my team or that I've had interactions, people that I've been able to pour into, and it's like that ripple effect is just unreal.
Dude,
and so it's like, you know, that second hand, you know, I might not be directly in this, but like the people that you've influenced on the literal other side of the world, I can be a little selfish and play my piece of that, bro. You know what I mean? But seriously, I don't know. That's so cool. Like,
seriously, dude.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it. All right. Well, that wraps us up for today. Thank you again, Gerald, for being here, man. I really appreciate it. Taking your time out. And
appreciate, you know, the opportunity to be a part of this journey with the Raven in a Row. Like I said in the beginning, I'm excited to see where this journey takes you and, like, all the great things that you're going to do and all the great things that you're going to do to help other people, man. So, okay, pretty excited.
Appreciate it, man.
Invisible fist pump.
Right.